All right, let's begin our service opening our Bibles to the Gospel of John. John chapter 3. Make a few announcements as you're turning. Visitation for Julie's grandmother will be today from 3:30 to 6, followed by a funeral service at the Southside Nazarene Church in Catlettsburg. On a much happier note, on Sunday the 20th, we'll have a zero birthday party for Emmy and Bobby Lee and for Barb Collins. I know we'll look forward to that. I covet your prayers. Lord willing, this evening I'll be preaching at Todd's Road Grace Church and coming back home tonight. And next Sunday, Lord willing, I'll be preaching at the conference in Cottageville. Brother Paul Mahan and Don Fortner, Pastor Gabe Stoniker will be here to preach to you. So I know you'll look forward to that. Covet your prayers as we travel and preach. All right, John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. We'll end our reading there. All right, let's stand together as Mike leads us in singing our call to worship.
What can make me whole? white as snow. No other mount I know. For my pardon, this I see. For my cleansing, this my plea. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other count I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. This is all my hope and peace.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Good. I saw all the children singing that song. That's a blessing to see that. Let's turn now to 216, over a few pages. 216. Look to the Lamb of God. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God. He to redeem you died on Calvary. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able to save you. Look to the Lamb of God. When Satan tempts and doubts and fears assail, look to the Lamb of God. You in His strength shall over all prevail. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Song, look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. For He alone is able.
If you turn to back to 1 Kings chapter 17, this is where our message will be from this morning. Well, while you're turning, I just got to say, not being up here very often, it's such a blessing to hear all that singing coming forth and praising our Lord. And I know it has to be a blessing to you, Frank, as you prepare to bring the message. So let's go 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll pick up in verse 17. And here we are after that, after Elijah went to that widow, to that elect, and we pick up. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, "What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance, and to slay my son?" And he said unto her, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom, and carried him up into a loft, where he abode, and laid him on his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord, and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn, by slaying her son?" And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come unto him again." And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said to Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in my mouth is true." And the Lord bless his word. Our great, holy, heavenly Father, come before you this morning, a thankful people, and yet a needy people. Lord, we're so thankful for this written word, that you've given us a full revelation of the incarnate word, our Lord Jesus Christ, that you've given us a pastor to proclaim that word to us, and that we don't need signs and wonders to know that he's bringing us your word, that we have this word that we can try this spirit. And Father, we pray that you would bless the message brought this morning. Lord, leave us not alone. Lord, whenever men endeavor to preach and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, leave them not alone. Send your spirit to be among them. Give our pastors a word from thee. Lord, give us hearing ears and receiving hearts. Lord, we're mindful through sickness and death and trials of this world of our sin. But we're so thankful for regeneration through the Lord Jesus Christ, for life to hear and praise our Lord, to know salvation in him. Father, we pray for that life. We think of our children here in this congregation, Lord. Thou hast hedged them about as they go out into the world, in school, or our young people in their jobs, and we know that thou art protecting them, but Lord, we pray that you would reveal yourself to them. They've sat under the sound of the gospel. It calls them to hear. Give them faith. Show them their need. It calls them to run to our Lord Jesus Christ, to cling to him. We ask that for our friends and family, for anyone, our loved ones, that that you would reveal yourself to them. Thou art able, Lord. Won't you be willing to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ through the saving of sinners? Father, we pray for those going through trials, sickness, loss. We pray, Lord, that you would hold them up, cause them to look to Christ for comfort, for peace. Cause us to help one another, to lift one another up in prayer, and to act in love. Father, we pray once again, bless this word this morning. Speak to the new man. Speak to our living hearts. Cause us to rejoice and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray all these things. Amen.
Our sovereign God maintains his universal throne in heaven and earth. Wonders known. His counsels and decrees firmer than mountains stand. He will perform whate'er he please, and none can stay his hand. All things his will controls, and all his all-wise decree has fixed the destinies of all in matchless sovereignty. Jacob by grace he saved, and gives no reason why, but Esau's heart he left depraved, and who shall dare reply? What if the potter part of a lump of clay, and for himself a vessel makes, and casts the rest away? Who shall resist his will, or say what? Jehovah is the sovereign still, and all to him must bow. My soul bow and adore the Lord in all his ways. His sovereign trust his grace, for of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be glory evermore. Amen, amen, amen.
open your Bibles, if you would, to 1 Kings chapter 17, the passage Brother Dan read for us a moment ago. I read to you the verse in the book of Hebrews that brought me here to 1 Kings 17. The writer says in Hebrews 11, verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. And what I want us to see this morning in 1 Kings chapter 17 is a picture of the new birth, when by faith a woman received her dead to life again. And we looked at this story here in our Bible class this morning, how the Lord had set a famine in the land for 3 years and 6 months. During that time, the Lord sent Elijah to a Gentile widow and her son, and the Lord miraculously fed them during this time of famine. And while Elijah was still staying with the woman, this widow's son died. Her husband had already died. This is her only child, and her only child died. Verse 17 of 1 Kings 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Now tell you what we're going to do. We're going to very quickly forgive what this poor mother says. I believe it was right for us to give a free pass to pretty much anything a mother says when one of her children dies. But she's saying, Elijah, it had been better for me if I never met you, if I just never knew you. Now, really, her son would have starved to death a year ago if she had never met Elijah, but she's speaking out of grief. And it could be she's saying, what good did it do me? I mean, I'd be better off if I didn't know you. And what good did it ever do me to know you? You're the prophet of God. And you didn't intercede for me, stop this from happening. You didn't stop my son from dying. You came to me, and it seemed like you're coming to give me a blessing from God. But you've come and discovered my past sin. You've uncovered, here I am, I'm a Gentile, I've lived in idolatry and all this sin. And you're really come to discover my past sin. Now you're punishing me for my former sin. I know you said you came to give me a blessing, but what you've really done is punish me for my sin. Now, she shouldn't have said that, but like I said, we're going to very quickly forgive her, understanding the circumstances that she's in. And if you feel like being hard on this poor woman, let me ask you a question. How many times have you thought, oh, the Lord's punishing me for my sin? After he's blessed me with the forgiveness of sin, he's blessed me with salvation, he's promised me my sins forgiven in Christ, yet this has happened to me because God's punishing me for my past sin. How often have you thought that? Thinking that's a whole lot worse than what she said to Elijah. Because this is questioning Almighty God. God's punishing me for my sin after he promised me it was forgiven. Now this death is given to us as a picture of our spiritual death. This woman's son was dead. And there's not one thing she can do about it. I mean, that's what brings such grief to our hearts. Is just when a loved one dies, there's nothing we can do about it. Nothing we can do can put life back into our loved one. I mean, this woman, maybe she was trying. Maybe she was trying to hold that son in her bosom, trying to get the warmth of her body into his body. But there's nothing she could do to put life back into the body of her son. And that's a picture of you and me. We're born dead in trespasses and sins. And there is not one thing we can do about it. There's not one thing we can do to give ourselves life. We lost our life when Adam sinned. When Adam sinned, you and I sinned. And because of his sin, Adam died. When Adam died, you and I died in him. He was our representative. The Apostle Paul said, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And literally translated, that means all sinned in Adam. And we sinned in Adam, and we died in Adam too, and we're powerless to give ourselves life again. There's nothing we can do to put spiritual life back into our soul. The only hope we have is that we would be given life from the dead, life from above in the new birth. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, the new birth, regeneration. I titled the message, Regeneration, Life from the Dead. Now, number one, regeneration happens when a sinner is alone with God. Verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. Now this boy was dead. And if Elijah told that boy, son, I'll give you life if you'll just take the first step toward my loft, I'll take you up and give you life. If he had said that, what would have happened? That boy would have stayed dead, wouldn't he? If Elijah would have said, now just, you know, make the first move. Show me you got some interest and I'll give you life. He'd have stayed dead. That boy could not take the first step because he's dead. He couldn't take the first step of his life dependent upon it. He's dead. He's powerless to move. If Elijah would have said, now come on now, take the first step towards me. Don't you hear your mother's crying? Aren't you affected by her broken heart? Make her feel better and take the first step toward me. I'll give you life. Boy, would stay dead, wouldn't he? He's dead. And since he's dead, he's completely unaffected by his mother's tears. He can't hear her. He can't hear what she said to him. He couldn't have heard what Elijah said to him. He's dead. That boy is going to go to the next room. How's he going to get there? Elijah's going to have to carry him there. He's going to have to take him there. And that's you and me. We're spiritually dead. And if God sent a preacher to promise that God would save us if we just take the first step toward him, we'd stay dead and go to hell. Because we're dead and we can't take the first step. If God sent a preacher and promised to save us if we just repent, or we just believe, if you just believe God, we'd stay dead and we'd go to hell. We don't have the capacity in us to believe. We don't have the capacity to repent. We're dead. Dead people can't do anything. We can hear the gospel with these ears, but we don't have the power to believe it. We don't have the power to love it. And you know why that is? It's because we're dead. We're spiritually dead. This boy needs somebody else to give him life, because he can't do it himself. And that's what you and I need. We need somebody else to give us spiritual life. But we can't get it for ourselves. And the only way that will happen is if we're alone with God. Elijah took this boy, and now he's in his room. He's alone with Elijah. The only way you and I will ever be born again is if we get alone with God. Now that does not mean you have to go home and get in a room all by yourself, not let anybody in. You can be alone with God in an auditorium full of people. You can be alone with God. Being alone with God is when I find God speaking to my heart. I know there's a lot of other people here, but it seems like God is talking only to me. God is dealing directly with me. That's being alone with God. And I can tell if I've been alone with God. I can tell that God has spoken to my heart. When the gospel of Christ stops being a doctrine that's different from other denominations around the area, and the gospel starts being what I need, not what somebody else needs, what I need, I find myself craving the gospel. I must hear it. I can tell that I've been alone with God when the gospel of Christ becomes my life. Christ is my life. When the gospel quits being about Christ and starts being Christ, oh, now God's spoken to my heart. Now Christ is my Savior. He's my life. He's my righteousness. When that happens, I know I've been alone with God. God's spoken to my heart. And you know, nothing in creation is left up to chance. Things that we call good, things that we call bad, Earl and I were talking about this last week. I worry myself sick about what's going to happen to this country politically. I mean, I just think there is not going to be a country left for our children. I just worry myself sick. And Earl reminded me now, left up chance, is it? God's either in control or he's not. Nothing is left up to chance. I've been hoping and praying for rain, for rain, for rain. This afternoon, I've got to go up to Lexington. Tonight, I've got to come back. I might have to rain today. God's in control. It's not left up to chance. Well, that is certainly true concerning the salvation of God's elect. God's not going to leave their salvation up to chance. He's not going to leave it up to them. How are God's elect going to get to the place where they hear the gospel? And how is that dead sinner going to believe it? How is that dead sinner going to hear it and believe it? God's going to carry him. He's going to take them there. When I first got out of college, I went down south to work a job for a while in South Carolina. The man I worked with would come to me and say, "Would you carry me over to this city? Or we got this job going on this. Would you carry me over there?" And it figured out, that sounds so strange to me. Would you carry me? He means, would you take me? Would you drive me? Would you give me a ride? Well, that's what God does for his people. He carries them. Where is it they need to go hear the gospel? God will carry them. He's going to take them there. And he's going to give them an ear to hear it. And he's going to give them a heart to believe it. See, God in the gospel commands us to come to Christ. That's not a good idea now. That's not just something maybe we should do someday. God commands us to come to Christ. That's a sweet commandment, isn't it? It's a commandment. God commands us to do what we cannot do, and then he carries us to Christ. And he takes us to him. Regeneration comes from being alone with God, because regeneration is a work that God does in us, and only God can do it. All right, number two, regeneration is the result of Christ interceding for his people. Verse 20, and he cried unto the Lord and said, "O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son?" Now Elijah here is a picture of Christ, our great high priest, who's interceding for his people. He is interceding, Elijah is, particularly for this boy. Not all the other boys in town, not all the other widows and their sons in town, this boy and this widow. Look at John chapter 17. This is exactly what our Savior was doing in John chapter 17. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer here is found in John chapter 17. This is the prayer of Christ, our great high priest, as he prayed particularly for his elect. He prayed for his elect and only his elect. Verse 2, he says, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to" who? "As many as thou hast given him." Christ is going to give life to somebody, and I know exactly who it is. It's all those that the Father elected and gave to Christ to save. He's going to give them life. Verse 3, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Now, salvation is a person. Salvation is knowing and loving, believing a person. It's not knowing the right doctrine. It's not keeping the law. It's not living a more moral life than somebody else. Salvation is knowing and loving and believing the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, who's going to know Christ? Who's going to believe him? He says they. They, all those that the Father elected and gave to Christ. Christ was interceding for those people. And when he suffered and died, he saved, eternally saved, all those that the Father gave him to save. So it's only right that God give life to those people. It's only right. The Lord Jesus Christ obeyed the law for them. He made them righteous. There's no reason for them to die. Christ suffered the penalty of the broken law for them. He suffered and died for his people as their substitute. Just like we sinned in Adam, we died in Christ. Just like we sinned in Adam, we obeyed the law in Christ. There's no reason for God's elect to stay dead. Christ has made them righteous. And he satisfied the law for them. He satisfied justice for them. So now God's justice demands that they live. God's justice demands they have eternal life. And I tell you when they receive it, when Christ makes intercession for them. See, Christ suffered and died. He didn't stay dead. He rose again. And he ascended back on high where he ever liveth, doing what? Making intercession for his people. And when he makes intercession for his people, he's not asking the Father to do me a favor and give this one life. No. He's saying, Father, give this one life. I died for them. My blood was shed for them. He's pleading his sacrifice. He's pleading himself. So he always receives what he asked for when he intercedes with the Father, because he's pleading his sacrifice. All right, here's the third thing. Regeneration is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Now Elijah stretched himself out upon this boy, and the word means he measured himself upon him. Elisha did something very similar one time. He stretched himself. He measured himself upon this dead child. He put his face on his face. He put his hands on his hands. He put his heart on his heart, his feet on his feet. He measured himself upon him, making himself exactly what that boy needs. Well, that's a picture of Christ. He measured himself. He made himself to be exactly what his people need. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was made flesh. He was made a real human being so that he could be our representative, the representative of his people who are in the flesh. And Christ was sinless flesh so that he could be the substitute for his people and take their sin away. See, if he had sin of his own, he couldn't take our sin away, could he? But he's sinless. So he could take the sin of his people away from them. He obeyed the law as a man. Not for himself. He's already holy. He's already righteous. He obeyed the law as a man so he could give that righteousness to his people. And then he stretched himself. He measured himself upon his people. He made himself to be exactly what his people need. He was made sin for his people. He took all of the sin. He took all of the iniquity. He took all the vileness of the sin of his people away from them. And he took it in his own body upon the tree. And he sacrificed himself as the only sacrifice that could put away sin. He's the only perfect, sinless sacrifice. He's the only sacrifice that the Father would accept. The Lord Jesus Christ made himself everything his people need, so that they would have eternal life. And when the Spirit of Christ comes, he measures himself upon his people, face to face, hand to hand, arm to arm, chest to chest, heart to heart, foot to foot. And he breathes life into God's elect. Just like God breathed life into Adam, God the Holy Spirit breathes life into his people. All right, fourthly, regeneration in this life will lead to eternal life in glory. Verse 23, and Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son liveth. Now nothing, I mean nothing, would have satisfied this mother other than her living son. The only thing would have satisfied Elijah's concerns and his prayers, she might have appreciated him, but it wouldn't satisfy her if her son stayed dead. The only thing that would satisfy her broken heart is her son be given back to her alive so that she could enjoy his company. And we can just imagine how satisfied, how filled with joy she was when Elijah brought her son and she received her son alive from the dead. And that's exactly what the writer of the Hebrews was talking about in Hebrews chapter 11. In verse 24, the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth. She sure changed her tune from just a little bit ago, didn't she? Just a little bit ago she was saying, it'd been better for me if I never met you. Now she's saying, I know you're a man of God, and the word in your mouth is truth. She changed her tune. Well, you know that always happens. Our tune is changed when God gives life from the dead. And here's the picture. The Father loved a people in eternity. It was His purpose to save those people. And nothing but their eternal life would satisfy Him. The Father elected a people to save. I'm going to say this carefully, but this is true. More than election is required for the salvation of a sinner. Now, it's got to start there. The gospel's got to start there. Everything in the gospel flows from God's election of a people. But more than election is required for salvation. The Son must come in the flesh. He must suffer and die as a sacrifice for the sins of those people that the Father chose to save. But more than a sacrifice is required for the salvation of a sinner. Redemption in Christ, that did change our legal standing with God. It absolutely did. But it didn't change us, did it? No, it didn't change us. If we would have eternal life, we've got to be changed. Something's got to be done in us. We've got to be given life from the dead. So the Holy Spirit must come and give spiritual, holy, eternal life to God's elect. The Spirit's got to do that. Not only does God's justice demand it, the Father will never be satisfied until all those people that He chose, all those people for whom the Son died, are given eternal life. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. See, the blood must be shed. Now, I say this very carefully, that more than a sacrifice is required for the salvation of a sinner. I say that carefully, but that's so. The blood must be shed, just like the day of the Passover. The blood had to be shed. The blood had to be caught in a basin, didn't it? The lamb, the Passover lamb, had to die. But brother, that blood better be applied to the doorpost. If it's not, the firstborn's going to die. The blood must be applied. The Holy Spirit comes and He applies the blood of the sacrifice of Christ to our heart and gives life, gives faith in the new birth. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit will all be satisfied when all of the elect are presented faultless before the Father with exceeding joy. The Father will be satisfied when the Son says to Him, "Behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Father, they're all here. Not one of them's missing. And then the Father will be satisfied. All of His purpose of redemption has been brought to pass, and He's satisfied. And might I add, we who believe will be completely satisfied then too, and not children. All right, that's the picture. That's the story that we have here. And this truth of the regeneration, the necessity of the new birth, is so glorious. It's so wonderful. It's talked about throughout Scripture. And I want to read some of them to you so that we see something of the miracle of regeneration. The new birth is so miraculous. It's a work that can only be done by God. Our Lord told Nicodemus, we read this to open the surface. Nicodemus came to Him just flattering the Lord, didn't he? He said, "Oh, you know, we know you're a prophet of God. Nobody can do these things you're doing." He just flattered. And the Lord just skipped all that and got right to the heart of the issue. He said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." He didn't say, "Nicodemus, you got to get saved." He said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. If you must be born again, you're helpless. You don't contribute anything to it. You've got to be born again because of what somebody else did. You must be born again by the will and by the power of somebody else. God the Holy Spirit, who moves where He listeth, just like the wind does." And we won't turn to all these scriptures, but turn to this one, Ephesians chapter 2. I want to see something of this miracle of being born again. So we're awed by it and thankful for it. To be born again is to be spiritually raised from the dead. It is to be given life from the dead by God's grace. Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And we've been that way a long time. You know, this widow's son, he was just newly dead, wasn't he? She was still holding in his arms. We're dead. We've been dead a long time, a long 6,000 years. We're dead so that we're stinking and rotting. We're dead so that there's nothing left but dust. That's the deadness I'm talking about, our spiritual deadness. Oh, but verse 4, but God, who's rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, he loved us even when we were dead in sins. What has he done? Hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and he's raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. The regeneration is to be given life from the dead. Now, why would God Almighty give a wretch like me, who's dead, stinking and rotting and trespasses and sins? I got my conversation, my citizenship in the lust of this flesh. I live to fulfill the desires of this flesh and of this wicked mind. I am by nature the children of wrath, even as others whom he passes by. Why on earth would Almighty God give life to somebody like me? For his glory. That's why God did all this, so that he would get the glory in giving life to the dead. Who else could do that? Only God. He did it. He does this so that he would be glorified. Then to be born again is to be made a brand new creature. It's to be made a spiritual man who never existed before. This is a new birth. A new man is born here. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. When a sinner is born again, everything is new. Everything is. That new man's got a new motive because he's got a new heart. New motives that come from a new heart. Now you serve God out of love and thanksgiving. You don't serve him out of fear of punishment. You don't serve him trying to get a reward from him. You serve him out of love. And you have a new motive of love because God's given you a new heart. A heart that loves Christ. Everything's new. The gospel's all the same. The gospel you've ever preached has not changed one whit. But now you see it. Because you got new eyes to see. The gospel you hear preached with these ears hasn't changed one bit. But now you hear it. Because God's given you new ears. Now, it's like, yeah, I wish he'd hurry up so we could hurry up and go get in line down at the restaurant, you know, and get a good seat. Now you believe it. Now you believe what you once hated. How did everything turn 180 degrees? God's given you a new heart. He made you a brand new creature and everything has changed. Everything's new. Then to be born again. Grab hold of your seat here. To be born again is to have Christ formed in us, in our heart. Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Galatians 2:20. We wouldn't dare believe such a thing if God didn't put it in his word. Christ liveth in me. And the Apostle Paul went to Galatia preaching. This is what he told them, Galatians 4, verse 19. This is why I came to you preaching. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until what? Christ be formed in you. See, that's regeneration when Christ is formed in you. And I'm not even going to bother trying to explain that. Christ is formed in you, you know what that is. And if he's not, you don't. I don't have the words to explain it. To be born again is to receive a new nature. When God saves a sinner, God doesn't fix up that old nature. The flesh cannot be improved. That's why the Lord told Nicodemus, Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. Of course you're going to ask, how can these things be? Of course you don't understand this, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of dead flesh can only be dead flesh, and it can never be improved. If we're going to have life, there's got to be a new birth. A new birth. When God saves a sinner, that sinner is born again. Born a brand new person. And that person, that nature that is born of God, is holy. It's Christ formed in you. It's all, the holy nature of Christ. When we're born again, we receive the nature of our Heavenly Father. Just like we receive the natural nature of our Father when we're born of the flesh. My wife tells me sometimes, oh, I see your dad in you. I said, this is just what your dad would do. And I say, well, thank you. I take that as a compliment. Why does she say that? Because when I was conceived, I received the nature of my Father. There are a lot of things about him that I loved and admired. But now let me tell you, he's a dead sinner. And the only nature he could pass on to me was a dead spiritual nature. I'm just like him. Just like my father Adam. When it's in spiritual birth and regeneration, we're born with the nature of our Heavenly Father. That's why Peter said in 2 Peter 1, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. You're partakers of the divine nature because in the new birth, we receive the nature of our Heavenly Father. Then to be born again is to have the seed of God planted in us. The Apostle John says in 1 John 3, verse 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he's born of God. That's that seed, the seed of the Word of God, the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, a nature planted in us, and that nature cannot sin, because it's born from a holy seed. Now look at the book of James. James chapter 1. I told you this earlier, that regeneration, the new birth, is a work that only God can do. Don't take my word for it. Here you'll see it in the Word of God. James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, without question, the new birth is a good gift. It's a perfect gift. The only way we can have it is from above, from the Father. Verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God Almighty does this gracious work in the hearts of all his poor, insignificant people, of his own will. It's not of our will. It's of his will and his power. He begat us and gave us life. All right, one more scripture. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. If a sinful, dead son of Adam is going to become a son of God, we're going to have to be born again into a new family with a new nature, aren't we? With a new father. Well, it is the power of God that gives the sinner the right, the power, the privilege to become a son of God. John 1, verse 11. He came into his own, and his own received him not. That's all the flesh can do. It can't see him, it can't believe him, it can't love him, it can't receive him. He came into his own, who were in the flesh, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, who is it that received Christ? Who is it that believed Christ when he came? Who is it today that believes the gospel of Christ when they hear it preached? Who believes that? Is it people that got some ability of themselves? They can just will themselves to believe God when other people cannot? Is that who believes God? No, not at all. The people who received Christ, the people who believed him, were the ones that received a new want to. They received a new nature when they were born of God. Look at verse 13, which were born. These ones who believed on his name were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. See, they were born, not of the blood, not of natural blood. They didn't believe God because their mom and daddy were Jews. No, that's not why. It wasn't the will of the flesh. It wasn't that they could decide to believe God when other people cannot. They believed God by the will of God, by the power of God who caused them to be born again. And when they were born again, they could not believe Christ. The only thing they could do is believe him. All right. That's the new birth. That's what God's word has to say about the new birth. What a miracle. Isn't that wonderful? What a miracle. Well, I'll tell you the truth. I sure would like to be born again, don't you? Well, how can I tell if I've been born again? I mean, I want to know. Am I born again? Or is this just something that I believe because it's all I've ever heard? How can I tell if I've been born again? You know, the gospel is such a great mystery that the smartest natural minds cannot understand it. The softest hearted people cannot believe it. Salvation is such a mystery, it just can't be explained with human words. Yet it's so simple. It's so simple. Don't overcomplicate matters here. God in his power and wisdom make this so simple. Have I been born again? Do you believe God? Do you? Do you believe Christ? Do you believe he's your only hope? Is he the only hope you want? Then you've been born again. God's made you be born again. Oh, may God have mercy and cause us to be born again. For only he can give us life from the dead. All right, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, how we thank you for this, your word. This, your word that's so mysterious, so powerful, yet that you make so plain for the children's bread that the smallest child can believe. Father, how we thank you. How we thank you that in your will, in your power, in your mercy and grace to your people, that you do not leave us to our own devices, but that it is of your will you begat, you give your people life. Through your word, through the preaching of your word, how you move powerfully by your spirit and give life to the dead, give faith where there was none, give life where there was none, give love when there was only hatred, and give us life to believe and love and follow and feed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would not let this message just be words of doctrine on paper, but that you'd bless your word mightily, that you'd cause it to reach the hearts of your people. Father, give life this morning. Give life to your people through the preaching of your word. Encourage and strengthen your people. Strengthen the life that you've given by enabling us to feed upon Christ. Cause him to be our all and in all. It's his precious name that we pray and give thanks.
Let's stand and sing number 195, 1925. Let's sing a chorus after the second and the fourth, the even numbered verses.
I have a message from the Lord, hallelujah, the message unto you I'll give. 'Tis recorded in his word, hallelujah, it is only that you look and message full of love. Alleluia, a message, oh my friend, for you. 'Tis a message from above. Alleluia, Jesus said it and I know 'tis true. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live. 'Tis recorded in his word. Alleluia. It is only that you look and live. Life is given unto you. Alleluia. Eternal life thy soul shall have. If you'll only look to him. Alleluia. Look to Jesus who alone can save. I will tell you how I came. Alleluia. To Jesus when he made me whole. 'Twas believing on his name. Alleluia. I trusted and he saved my soul. Look and live, my brother, live. Look to Jesus now and live.